Good afternoon. This is Frances, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. First article is from AARP, published December 20th, 2023. Six top scams to watch out for. Criminals are getting more sophisticated and supercharging old scams with new technology. One reason that scammers are so difficult to stop, security experts say, is that they keep raising their game. They're continually perfecting their scams, taking advantage of tech innovations, and honing their methods to better manipulate their targets. We keep coming up with different tools to combat scams and fraud, but it's just like playing whack-a-mole, says Better Business Bureau spokesman Josh Planos. Scammers have become much more adept at impersonating legitimate institutions, including creating websites and messages that are carbon copies of legitimate healthcare providers, businesses, and banks, with fewer grammatical mistakes and other red flags for scams, according to Planos. And criminals are not only taking advantage of technological innovations such as AI, they're also growing ever more adept at psychological manipulations. Their game of persuasion, says Aaron Foss, former chief executive and founder of No More Robo, a firm whose technology aims to thwart robocalls. Foss explains that today's scammers in overseas call centers, for example, are often trained to minimize their accents and coached on ways to connect emotionally with their targets. Here are six of the scams that experts say you should be watching out for this year. First, the check cooking scam. Last year, the big thing was check washing, where thieves stole paper checks from postal boxes, mailboxes, or even carriers, and then washed the checks with chemicals, keeping the signature but erasing the amount and the payee so they could fill in a new name and amount. But now, they've discovered a less messy way to steal. In check cooking, thieves take a digital picture of a stolen check and then use commercially available software to alter it. It looks very real, even with the watermarks and all, explains Michael Broomer, vice president of data breach resolution and consumer protection at Experian, a global credit verification and financial services firm. Criminals can print a new phony check or else just deposit the altered image using a bank's mobile app, he notes. How to stay safe? Consider using a safer payment method, such as a credit card. But if you choose to write paper checks, scammers still need to steal a physical copy. Make it harder for them. Instead of putting the check in a mailbox, drop it off directly at the nearest post office and continually monitor your checking account and watch for any suspicious transactions. Second, voice print scams. Thanks to technological advances, it's possible for thieves to capture a recording of your voice and then use a software program to generate an imitation, deepfake version that can be used to impersonate you. That voice print can be used to access your insurance or your financial institution or apply for a driver's license, Broomer says. The New York Times reported on a recent case in which a representative at a major bank received a call from a deepfake copy of a Florida investor's voice requesting that the bank move the man's money elsewhere. Fortunately, the fraud attempt was spotted by the bank before the real investor lost his savings. How to stay safe? To prevent your voice from being duplicated, don't answer the phone, Broomer advises. If someone needs to get a hold of you, they can text you. Broomer even is cautious about answering calls that appear to be from people on his contact list, since the call could be coming from a phone that's been stolen or had its SIM card cloned, he said. 3. Delayed action sweepstakes scam. Sweepstakes scammers who call or write to say that you've won a fabulous fortune have been around for ages. But recently, they've come up with a new variation on the old formula, according to Broomer. Instead of trying to get you to pay taxes or other fees in advance to collect the non-existent prize, the scammer will ask for personal information so that they can validate you and set up the payout. They'll say, just give us your banking information and your Social Security number, and we'll file with the IRS and we'll take care of everything, he explains. But boom, it's just another form of identity theft. Instead of quickly looting your bank account, what Broomer calls a smash and grab, the scammers may play a long game. They'll write small checks on your account to see whether you notice the fraudulent activity. If you don't, they'll continue to use the account to obtain credit cards and lines of credit in your name that they can siphon off, giving them a potentially bigger payday down the road. How to stay safe? As with previous variations of the sweepstakes scam, remember that if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. If you get a call from someone claiming that you've won a huge prize, the safest bet is to just hang up and never ever provide any personal information. Fourth, virtual celebrity scam. Celebrities have had online presences for years, but the trend really gained momentum during the pandemic when stars who couldn't make public appearances tried to stay connected with their fans by doing online concerts and other events on social media. Fans have become accustomed to that constant virtual intimacy, which leaves them vulnerable to celebrity scammers. You're on Instagram or Facebook, and someone pretending to be Celine Dion or her manager reaches out to you, explains Amy Knopfziger, director of victim support for AARP's Fraud Watch Network. If it's a fake manager, they might say, Celine loves your comments. She'd love to talk to you. Here's her private account. But after you connect to an imposter pretending to be the superstar singer, the talk gradually turns to how her fortune is tied up in a lawsuit and she could use a $50,000 loan from you, or a similar story involving a need for your money. How to stay safe? If you get a direct message from someone claiming to be a famous performer or superstar athlete, or representing them, be skeptical. It's almost certain to be a scam. Fifth, multi-stage grandparent scam. This is a new, more sophisticated version of the old grandparent scam, in which crooks call and pretend to be a grandchild who's been arrested and needs bail money to get out of a non-existent legal jam. In the past, grandparent scammers were often small-timers who would plead for a few hundred dollars. But these days, Foss says, they often set up call centers staffed with young people who are paid a few bucks for every grandparent that they can connect with. After posing as grandchildren who've been jailed after a car accident, they'll provide a case number and instruct the target to call their defense attorney or the local prosecutor. When grandpa calls up, they say, oh, do you have the case number? Foss explains. It's actually a subtle psychological trick to see whether the grandparent is compliant and will follow their instructions to send thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars. Some scammers have a third conspirator pose as a courier and go to a grandparent's home to pick up the money in person, according to Steve Baker, a former FTC official who now publishes the Baker Fraud Report newsletter. How to stay safe? If you get a call from an unfamiliar number from a family member claiming to be in trouble, don't panic. Instead, after you finish talking, and certainly before sending money, the Federal Communications Commission recommends that you call or text the person at his or her usual number and check to see whether the family member is actually in trouble. If they don't answer, contact other family members or friends if you have any concern that the emergency could be real. Scammers plead with you to keep the situation a secret precisely so you won't try to confirm it. And six, criminals try to find ways to exploit big events that are in the news. Knopfziger suspects that we may start seeing a revival of the fake emergency scam, which bears similarities to the grandparent scam, but is slightly different. It could work something like this. A scammer hacks someone's email account, and shortly after, all of that person's contacts will receive the same message, something to the effect of, "Hey guys, I'm over in Paris and my wallet got stolen. Can anyone please help me out by sending gift cards or a Venmo deposit?" To the recipients, it's a potentially convincing ruse. You're thinking very quickly, "Well, Amy was in Paris 2 years ago, so it all makes sense," Knopfzeiger explains. "Yeah, I'll send you money." And officials are warning ticket seekers to avoid bogus ticketing sites and scam emails. How to stay safe. Resist the urge to react immediately if you hear from a friend in Paris needing cash. Instead, follow the FTC's advice and try another way to contact the person who is supposedly in need, such as calling them on the phone. Alternatively, reach out to a trusted source who knows the person and would be aware of whether or not they went on a trip to Paris. If you're intending to go to Paris and receive emails regarding tickets to the games, the official website for Paris 2024 notes, you will never be asked for the login details for your ticketing account, that is ID and password, or banking details. Check the sender's email address. Scammers will often change one letter or number or use .com rather than .org, hoping recipients will mistake the fake address for the legitimate one. Our next article is from Vox.com. The psychological traps of online shopping explained. Few things are actually scarce on the internet, but marketers don't want you to know that, by Emily Stewart, dated December 15, 2022. Online retailers have all sorts of tricks for getting consumers to buy more and buy faster. The people who create those tricks don't really even try to hide them. A cursory Google search reveals all sorts of marketers advertising their tools to help merchants boost sales. They boast countdown timers that are a great way of creating urgency and encouraging shoppers to buy your products, and low stock counters that employ psychological triggers to ignite a sense of scarcity and increase sales. Some companies offer sellers tools to show how many people have added an item to their carts, ordered it, or looked at it, and they're open that these numbers can be real or random, as in made up. A travel website tells you that there are only 3 hotel rooms left at a certain price ahead of your next vacation, or an e-commerce platform tells you that you only have 10 minutes to buy that dress in your shopping cart. Sellers and marketers know that fomenting a sort of fear of missing out will indeed push you to act, whether or not it's true. The same goes for showing ratings and reviews, for making something as a top seller, for indicating someone else in your network bought the same item before. Sometimes what you're being shown is real, sometimes it's not, and oftentimes it's impossible to know what's actually the case. It's kind of buyer beware, said Harry Brignall, a user expert who has tracked deceptive design, often referred to as dark patterns, for more than a decade and is currently working on a book on the matter. If everyone's doing it and no one's being fined, it would be kind of stupid of businesses to not do it, Brignall said. The use of deceptive design is a rational decision by companies who are just trying to be profitable. That profit can come at the expense of a decision that was perhaps a little more impulsive than the consumer would have liked. The vast majority of the purchasing decisions we make are subconscious, meaning we're not fully aware of what's driving our actions. Marketers have mountains of tactics to play into that and into our cognitive biases or tendencies in our thinking that don't entirely add up with logic or objective reason. All of those little cognitive nudges play into biases that we have, and we usually don't even know that they work, said Jason Goldberg, Commerce Strategy Officer at advertising firm Publicis. Social proof is a powerful motivator. People trust and copy the actions they believe have been taken by others. In online shopping space, that translates to wanting to buy things because they have ratings and reviews, questions and answers, and the appearance of being a high-velocity seller or popular on social media and among peers. Goldberg said ratings and reviews specifically are among the top correlations to sales of new products, and the amount of reviews can make more of a difference in sales than whether those reviews are good or bad, because people are inclined towards things they see as popular. A 4.3 star thing with 10,000 reviews is going to star much better than a 3.3 star thing with 10,000 reviews, but a 3.3 thing with 10,000 reviews might sell quite a bit better than a 4-point thing with 6 reviews, Goldberg said. Quality of the reviews is important, but quantity still wins. Fake reviews are also a persistent problem. People are driven by value and the belief they're getting a deal, including if they think they're on a tight timeline to get said deal. That's part of why shopping events such as Amazon Prime Day, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday work. Scarcity marketing lets consumers know those sales won't be there forever. It's worth noting that multiple experts I spoke to for this story told me that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are indeed not the days that offer the best deals economically. Over the years, e-commerce companies have gotten better and better at getting consumers to spend. They've reduced frictions, making it easier to buy in a click or two, and identified countless ways to make people feel like if they don't buy immediately, they'll miss out. Marketers also know that once they have you in the virtual door and have your information on hand, it will make it easier to sell to you in the future. Customer lifeline value is a real thing that people spend a lot of time thinking about, said Jeremy King, Senior Vice President and Head of Engineering at Pinterest. How do I get that first sale so that I can market to you forever? What counts as a dark pattern and what is just smart marketing sort of depends on who you ask. One person's dark pattern might count as another person's helpful user interface, though that latter person might be a seller. Generally, the line falls in what's true and what's a lie. Anytime you're not honest, it's a dark pattern, said Sukarita Kodali, Vice President and Principal Analyst at Forrester. If you're honest, I think that's just showcasing the attributes of the product. In September, the FTC released a report on dark patterns that included a number of e-commerce tactics that count, including false activity messages, saying a certain number of people are viewing a product at the same time, false low stock messages, and baseless countdown timers that just go away and reset. In a statement at the time, the regulator said the report was meant to highlight its efforts to combat the use of dark patterns in the marketplace and reiterate its commitment to taking action against tactics designed to trick and trap consumers. That all sounds very nice, but every expert I spoke to for this story said there's little downside for sellers to use these kinds of deceptive design tactics and dark patterns, whether they're lying or not. Chances are they won't get in trouble. My goodness, the FTC doesn't have the resources to prosecute things that are major violations of healthcare law. The last thing they're going to focus on is e-commerce, Kodali said. Fake pricing is illegal in most places. Fake scarcity is not very illegal, Goldberg said. The risk is low, the cost is low if you do get caught, and then the profit margin on these things is high, Brignall said. If sellers are really concerned about getting into hot water, there are always ways to fudge it on urgency and scarcity anyway. Sure, maybe that's the last hotel room available for $100 a night, but there are 10 more available at $101. The fact of the matter is that e-commerce companies and marketers are very, very good at getting us to buy stuff. I like to think I'm a relatively savvy shopper, and reporting for this story was the first time I realized those little notifications telling me 15 people or whatever are looking at the same vacation package as me online might not be true. There are some counter tactics consumers can employ to try to avoid getting tricked. Just like you shouldn't go to the grocery store hungry, you shouldn't online shop when you're in a hurry. Put something in the cart and let it sit there for a day, and then decide if you still need it. To be sure, an email might very well appear in your inbox reminding you the item is still there, this time with a 10% discount or a time limit, trying to push you to buy. It's always helpful to comparison shop to make sure you're actually getting the deal you think you are. Goldberg also noted to avoid shopping when you're in a, say, altered state. There's a shocking amount of e-commerce that happens after the bars close on Friday and Saturday nights, he said. In terms of ensuring product quality, you have to do your homework, Kodaly said, and recognize you might not be able to trust all the reviews you see. There are some expert resources for certain categories, like Consumer Reports for durable goods. I like Wirecutter for a lot of random products, she said. King, who's also spent time at eBay and Walmart, pointed out that the best prices don't necessarily come around Black Friday or Cyber Monday, but instead when e-commerce companies are trying to clear out their warehouses. That's where you can find some incredible deals, he said. Still, to a certain extent, it's impossible to avoid all online shopping traps all the time. There's a reason they work. Knowing what to look out for helps, but only for a limited time because, again, most purchasing decisions you're making subconsciously. You can't expect people to always give their best. It's very easy to pull basic tricks on people, Brignall said. It's like slipping on ice. It's going to catch some people. We live in a world that's constantly trying to sucker us and trick us, where we're always surrounded by scams, big and small. It can feel impossible to navigate. And finally, an article from the Arizona Department of Economic Security on AZ.gov, Unemployment Benefit Scams. Certain unemployment insurance, UI, benefit scams involve email messages which are sent as an attempt to acquire unemployment debit card or personal information from you to gain access to your funds or to commit identity theft. These email messages will ask you to disclose personal information such as your Social Security number, birth date, PIN number, etc. These phishing emails may appear to have been sent by unemployment insurance personnel, someone from the Department of Labor, a banking institution, or other entity that would never require you to give out this sensitive information. The same warning would also apply to telephone calls or text messages received by you where the caller is requesting personal or confidential information. Our staff will not ask for your full Social Security number unless you initiated contact with the call center or other agency personnel via telephone. Emails from the Unemployment Insurance Program will always have azdes.gov as part of the sender's address on the from line. A way to check to make sure that the message is in fact coming from UI is to hover your mouse pointer over the sender's email address on the from line. If you see anything other than what was previously described, do not click on any links in the email body or respond. The subjects of certain bogus phishing email will not even relate to your UI claim. One offered affordable car insurance and another wanted information to sign the individual up for an email buddy list. Several reports have also been received about a window that appears during the online application process relating to credit scores. Do not click on any links that are not part of the application. Another scam involves an email which states that your debit card has been deactivated or that you need to supply more information in order to receive your UI benefits. You are asked to provide confidential information to reactivate or update your card. Once the scammer has this information, it can be used to gain access to your debit card account or to commit identity theft. If you've been a victim of this type of scam, contact the bank that issued the debit card. There's a reported email scam which advises the recipient that his or her unemployment insurance benefit application was received but not complete. It provides links within the email to continue the unemployment filing process. The department will not send emails asking you to click on a link within the message body. The Arizona UI Call Center mailing address is P.O. Box 29225, Phoenix, Arizona 85038, 1-800-273-9225. UI claim related questionnaires or other requests for information or documents pertaining to your eligibility for benefits will always show this as our official return address. There are websites that offer to apply for UI benefits on your behalf. It is important to remember that you are the only person who can apply for unemployment insurance benefits. Third parties cannot file these applications for you. These scam websites collect your personal information, which can be used by them for identity theft or to commit other actions that could have a negative impact on you. Some of these third-party scam websites even charge for their services. Filing for UI benefits from any state is free. There's no charge to you for any services provided by a state unemployment insurance agency, either completing an application for benefits or filing weekly claims to receive payments. Our official website is azui.com, and the web addresses for our two online systems are uiclaims.azdes.gov or azuiinternetweeklyclaim.azdes.gov. If you see any other text in the web address within your browser address bar when applying for the UI benefits or submitting your weekly claims, do not enter your Social Security number or any other personal information. And that wraps up our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at Sun Sounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.